Out of Galatians chapter 6 this morning, we're going to hear some final words that the Apostle Paul gave to an early church, and hopefully the same words in which... We're not going to do that this time. Is there a scripture in there somewhere? There we go. And at this time, it is a privilege for us to hear God's word even speak to us. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whatever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. We're going to allow a songwriter this morning, Ben Harper, who wrote a gospel song called The Power of the Gospel, to give us an introduction into our thoughts for today. His lyrics go as follows, and I think I have a copy of a fella who actually put the lyrics on a whiteboard. Is that the next? Yeah, there we go. It will make a weak man mighty. It will make a mighty man fall. It will fill your heart and hands or leave you with nothing at all. It's the eyes for the blind and legs for the lame. It's love for hate and pride for shame. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. You'll never guess the next line. That's the power of the gospel. So today I thought we'd take some opportunity to look at what is the power of the gospel. This good news, the word of God that has come to earth, became flesh and dwelt among us. And Paul says, this is how we live out the power of the gospel. In Galatians 6, the beginning verses, we will see that it speaks in terms of to restore one another with a spirit of gentleness. In the midst of what we do in life, and I think that's the next slide there, Bob. I'm going to have to keep him awake today as we move through. And we fill in the blanks with the next slide. Perfect. We are going to restore one another with a spirit of gentleness. For us to get to the heart of what the gospel is, we're going to have to realize that this table is really about forgiveness. We're not sitting at this table because of something we deserve, but because God invites us to come, to be restored, and to sit here. There's many examples throughout the Old Testament that certainly lift up this idea of restoration. But I appreciated John Hicks reading Psalm 51 this morning as one of our prayers. David definitely falls into that camp in which he found himself in a place where he needed to be forgiven. He didn't even realize it until it was brought to his attention in a very real and significant way. But as he was confronted with those areas in his life that he was not living up to the right standard, he then spoke those great words out of Psalm 51 that says, "Again, against you and you alone, O Lord, have I sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." Sometimes it's very easy for us to point the finger at somebody else. For us to say, well, they in fact are walking down a road they don't need to be walking. The New Revised Standard says, if anyone is detected in a transgression, if anyone is caught with their hand in the cookie jar, or however you want to describe that event, if you find someone else at a weak place in their life, here's what you have the privilege to do. Do you want to see the power of the gospel happen? Then you offer restoration in their lives. You speak into their life a spirit of gentleness, and you offer the same forgiveness that has been extended to each and every one. I'm not sure where Lucretia got the picture that's below our sermon notes today, but I like it. It really gets to the heart of this next opportunity to see the power of the gospel. Our missing words there, to bear one another's burdens, but carry your own load. If you look in Galatians, I'm sure you've heard many times where it talks about we need to bear one another's burdens. We're not in this by ourselves. I know the Lone Ranger has just been released in the movies, but that's not how we live our life. Not even the Lone Ranger was a Lone Ranger. Where would the Lone Ranger be without Tonto? I'm not sure if Johnny Depp is the best Tonto. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Dad always told me about the Lone Ranger as he listened to them on the radio when they first came out. And I sort of want to take Dad to see it, but then I don't think it's going to be anything like what he listened to on the radio. So I'm not sure if I'm really going to do that or not. We are not in a Lone Ranger mentality as we understand the power of the gospel. We have understood a long time ago that we can do more together than we can apart. Missions has been the heartbeat of who we are as American Baptists. When we were able to go to the Mission Summit out in Kansas City, we sat down with 2,500 American Baptists from around the world and the country, and we heard how God is still alive and well, and that we are there to bear one another's burdens. What I thought interesting, though, is Paul doesn't finish the thought with just saying, you've got to pick up everybody else's load. He goes on just a few verses later. Verse number 5. It's right after he said, we must bear one another's burdens. He mentions that in verse 3. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then he finishes the thought in verse 5 by saying, for all must carry what? Their own loads. So how is it that we can bear one another's burdens but yet carry our own loads? Look at the picture. Isn't that a beautiful way for us to see that? I was trying to think of all different ways I could do the tiny moments. I'd come in with backpacks. Then I'd have all the kids have backpacks or sleeping bags or something. And we'd try to make this human chain. And then I realized, okay, I don't want to take the whole time just with the tiny. But what a great picture that would be. We are here to bear one another's burdens, but we all have a part to play in the midst of it. That's the power of the gospel. He then goes on and he says, the way the New Revised Standard Version sort of breaks up things in paragraphs, you've got this great opening in the first 5 verses, and then verses 7 through 10 is all together. It leaves verse 6 sort of all by itself in between. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their pastor. To share in all good things with your teacher is really the way the translation reads. So why does Paul sort of sandwich that here in the middle of this understanding of restoration and you know, coming along beside each other and not only bearing one another's burdens but carrying your own? He then speaks out and he says, make sure you continue to share with your leaders what's going on in your life. Some of the greatest phone calls I think I'm ever able to receive is when I hear the joys that are happening in your own lives. And when you withhold those, you're missing the power of the gospel. You're missing the opportunity. You know, Carolyn takes time to write down a note for me today so it can be shared. I've never had the privilege of meeting Vernon, but I am so glad that he has a connection with Philippi Baptist Church and that he has been encouraged by our prayers and our cards, and that we can be encouraged by his encouragement. And I would never know that. We would never know that if Carolyn hadn't spent the time to just drop down a few notes. Or for Anthony to take time in his beautiful penmanship and to write out those things that give us not only encouragement, but a connection. I think that's when we're at our finest, when we continue to communicate with each other, when we continue to share in all good things with your teacher. Paul loved this early church. He spent time there. He invested in their lives as they invested in his. And he says, don't leave me out of the loop. Continue to let the power of the gospel go forward as we share one with another. And then he finishes out these verses with a couple of other things that just give us strength and encouragement to not grow weary in doing right. You may do the right thing for 50 times, and you say, no one even notices. I'm not sure why I'm still on this righteous path. And you don't see any results for the labor of walking in that direction. But Paul's reminding his early church, this early church that he loves, he says, it may be difficult along the way, but I don't want you to fall faint. And there are many things that do weigh us down from time to time. But there is that word of encouragement that is spoken here from Paul. And he says, don't grow weary. Hold on. Hold on. And persevere. And then he shows us how to do that. He says, the way you don't grow weary, it's to work together for the good of all. You are going to grow weary if all you're concerned about is yourself. You are going to grow weary if you take on all of the world's problems and you think you, in fact, in and of yourself, have all the answers. But he finishes out his thought there and he says, we have to continue to work together. And the working together comes as we work for the good of all. That there is an energy that happens when we realize we're not just serving our own needs, but we're actually making a difference in someone else's life. That they now can see tangible ways in which this peace of God can come and be a part of their life as well. So a few thoughts from Paul. He has just a few more verses left in chapter 6 to finish up his letter and to do his final signing off. In fact, the very next verse he talks about, see how big I am writing this letter in my own hand, or something to that effect. It's almost like he's using the bold and the italics on his typewriter. And he says, these are the things I want you to hold on to. That we still need to be about restoring one another with a spirit of gentleness, to bear one another's burdens, but carry our own loads, to share in all good things with your teacher, to not grow weary in doing right, and to work together for the good of all. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel that allows us to sit at his table. The power of the gospel that says we can do more together than we can apart. And we are connecting with the countless millions of others around the world who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. As they gather and they sit around the same table. That's our privilege today. To realize the sacrifice that he has made for us. And to come, not because we are worthy, but because he's calling us as his children. To come not because we have it all put together, but because he is continuing to restore us and mend us and bind us together for his good and his purpose. It is appropriate that we have opportunity to think in terms of our Independence Day. Of course, Canada Day is also very close on the calendar. But wherever we hail from, whatever nation that we hail around their flag, the twins met twins at Camp Cowan this week, and they were born in Russia. So that was a great topic of conversation throughout the week. They're as American, I think, as all the rest of us, but they have the privilege of saying they were actually born in another country. Whatever country that might be, may these words also speak to us today. Across the land, people will be celebrating our nation's holiday. People will share in patriotism and pride. We remember the First Nations, the people of the land who came across the land bridge before those that came from across the seas. We confess that we have forgotten the history and neglected the stories of those who lived here before. We confess that the actions of our ancestors and governments caused great harm to the peoples here. We know that our country is made up of people from all over the world, from all cultures, speaking all languages. Despite the sins of our past, help us to live into a future with hope. Help us to honor those who serve our country in many ways. Help us to embrace those who have come to our land. Help us to bless instead of judge. God of all people, we rejoice and celebrate our nation's holiday. We rejoice and celebrate that we are your people and that we live in a place where we can participate in our local and national governments, where we can speak up and bring change, even when we feel discouraged in the process. God, lift us up. When we see injustice, God, help us to speak out. When we see marginalization and oppression, God, help us to stand up. May that be our call this morning, not only to the freedom in our country, but to the freedom that we have in Christ's name.